Translation: O my Lord, your pastimes are all wonderfully performed by your inconceivable spiritual energy, and by her perverted reflection, the material energy, you have created all the universes. As the supersoul of all living entities, you are aware of everything, and therefore you are certainly equal toward everyone. Nonetheless, you have favored your devotees. This is not partiality, however, for your characteristic is just like that of a desire tree, which yields everything according to one's desire. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:29, Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dvesha stinapriyaha ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya maite teshu chapyaham. I envy no one nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is certainly equal toward all living entities. But a devotee who fully surrenders at the lotus feet of the Lord is different from a non-devotee. In other words, everyone can take shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord to enjoy equal benediction from the Lord. But non-devotees do not do so, and therefore they suffer the consequences created by the material energy. We can understand this fact by a simple example. The king or government is equal to all citizens. If a citizen capable of receiving special favour from the government is offered such favours, this does not mean that the government is partial. One who knows how to receive favours from the authority can receive them, but one who does not neglect these favours and does not receive them. There are two classes of men, the demons and the demigods. The demigods are fully aware of the Supreme Lord's position, and therefore they are obedient to him. But even if demons know about the supremacy of the Lord, they purposefully defy his authority. Therefore the Lord makes distinctions according to the mentality of the living being. But otherwise he is equal to everyone, like a desire tree. The Lord fulfills the desires of one who takes shelter of him. But one who does not take shelter is distinct from the surrendered soul. One who takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord is favoured by the Lord, regardless of whether such a person is a demon or a demigod. Om Gyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svabhadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Rishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So this is being spoken by Prahlad Maharaj. He's glorifying the Lord. After Bali Maharaj got such a benediction. And so he's wondering how a demon gets a benediction like that. It's showing the impartiality of the Lord. So there's two subjects here in these two verses. Well, there's quite a few subjects, but two main ones is the Lord's causeless mercy and his impartiality. So how does the Lord's causeless mercy come? Why do some people get the Lord's mercy and some don't? I mean, it's pretty much explained in the purport to this second verse, but it's also explained in the Madhuri Kadambini that the Lord is the shelter of everything. It talks about the different layers of existence in this world, from Anamaya to Anandamaya. But it says even Anandamaya is sheltered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that Supreme Lord is full of all reciprocations, full of all ras. And this quality of the Lord is exhibited in the pastime in Mathura, where Krishna comes from Vrindavan and he enters the wrestling arena. And all the different people in that arena, they saw Krishna in a different way. According to their desire to see the Lord, they saw a certain aspect. The wrestlers, they saw a thunderbolt. I mean, we have to understand, how old was Krishna at that time? Hey? 8, weren't it? 8 years old. Anyway, he was young. He was very young. So, you know, he's not even developed. But, you know, the wrestlers, they saw him a huge adversary, like a thunderbolt. Then Kamsa, he saw the death of his life coming. And the ladies, they saw Cupid personified. The men saw the best of males. His coward friends, the coward men, they saw him as Nandanandan, the son of Nanda Maharaj. And so everything's dependent on our outlook in life. Krishna reciprocates with that. But Krishna doesn't have to reciprocate. That's the point, is that this is his causeless nature. He's called, what is it, Swarat, in the opening verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. That means he's completely independent. So many people in this world have some temporary independence, but it's limited. But Krishna is independent in every situation. And so also Krishna gives that benediction to his internal energy, to Bhakti Devi. Bhakti Devi is an expansion of Radharani. She's also completely independent. Because we're talking about how Bali Maharaj got the mercy of devotion. And so it doesn't seem... So Bhakti Devi says is also causeless and independent. Right in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it explains that Sarve Pumsham Paradharma Yato Bhaktir Adokshade Ahoitaki Apratyata Yatma Suprasiddhati. So this quality of Ahoitaki means it's Bhakti is not forced by any situation. It's unmotivated. The devotee is unmotivated in his devotional service when he's pure. But also that quality is there in Bhakti. There's nothing can motivate Bhakti, ultimately. So how does the devotee get this devotion? How does anybody get this quality from Bhakti? It seems that, you know, there has to be something. You know, if we, it's described in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that it's, another word used is yadrichchaya. It means that, same thing, that it's not caused by anything. So if somehow or other somebody is attached to hearing, that's their good fortune. This is the good fortune of getting Bhakti, by being attached to hearing. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that, okay, so Bhakti is unmotivated, so that means everybody should get it. Anybody can get it at any time if there's no reason. We don't find that, do we? People are just walking down the road and all of a sudden Bhakti descends. They start rolling on the ground. We do see that sometimes, but it's not Bhakti. So And if bhakti is not, and then he explains that if bhakti is got a cause, then it's not causeless. If it's a material cause, you know, by what we do. So then he starts to explain, maybe it's the Supreme Personality of Godhead who gives it. And he says, but actually, the Supreme Lord is, like this verse, he does show some partiality, or seems to do. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he rejects that he will reciprocate with others and not in the same way anyway, with somebody else. And then he says, what about the devotee? It's the devotee's mercy. Does everybody agree with that? I think it's the devotee's mercy. So the devotee says that the one who gives mercy is, what kind of devotee is he? Madhyam is a preacher. He can differentiate, therefore he can preach. Kanishta, he doesn't see much beyond him his own devotional service. What to speak of differentiating. And the topmost devotee, the Uttamadhikari, he sees that, actually, everybody's better than me. Everybody's serving Krishna, and I'm trying. And so he finds it difficult to preach. So, but the Madhyamadhikari, what does he do? He actually gives, he'll see somebody, and he'll, depending on how they reciprocate with him, he'll open up. He'll give to others and not, so he seems to be not so causeless. He's giving it, he's picking and choosing. There's a reason, I'll give it to this person, I'll preach to this person, but not to this person. He differentiates. So it seems to be an unanswered question. But then, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that bhakti is unmotivated because that devotee who preaches, he has some taste for devotional service, he has some bhakti. And therefore it's this taste, depending on his quality, which impels him to give it to others. So it's actually bhakti which is working through the devotee. And then it says, where does Krishna come into this? He says, when Krishna sees the pure desire of a devotee, then he blesses him with his Kripa Shakti, the ability to give devotional service. So it's super sanctioned by Krishna. So this is a technical way. When we go on the street, we're distributing books. We can't really think about this so much, but, you know, what's happening here? this is a causeless mercy of the Lord coming through his through Bhakti Devi. The next point here is that what should we do with that mercy? What's the nature of this movement? I think yesterday Navina Nirada was speaking for some time, and I'm sure I didn't get all the class, but I got the last 20 minutes, and it was definitely about preaching. So this is what really pleases the Lord, that once Prabhupada was on a morning walk, and he was in Hyde Park actually, and he was walking, and devotees were following him as usual, and he was talking about the good fortune of coming to devotional service, and he spoke for some time, and then after, all the devotees were thinking that Prabhupada's been speaking about how we become qualified to take up Bhakti Yoga. From previous lives, Prabhupada was speaking about. And one of the devotees, I'll not mention his name, but he lives nearby here, he's a Prabhupada disciple. He said he was thinking, I don't know how I've performed any pious activities in the past to come to a devotional service. And he was really thinking about this. And eventually he plucked up courage and he asked Prabhupada. He says, Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada stopped and turned. He says, yes. He said, you say we come to devotional service after pious activities in the past. Yes, that's true. He says, but I can't remember performing any pious activities. And Prabhupada picked his cane up and he pointed it at him. He said, no, I'm your pious activities. Now what I've done for you, you do for others. So this is the payment to the spiritual master. This is payment to Prabhupada. We can't actually pay what the Supreme Lord has given us through his representative, but we should try. And so this is our good fortune. This is our good fortune to be able to engage in giving devotional service to others. And if we do actually, There's no higher taste. Every aspect of devotional service has some rasa, some taste. But if anybody who tries to distribute Prabhupada's books or do some one-to-one preaching, front-edge preaching, then they definitely get something very special. So we spoke about causeless mercy. The other one is partiality. Is the Lord partial? Well, this verse says no. Samoham sarvabhuteshu. It's dependent on our ability to reciprocate with the Lord's offer. If one offers something to somebody and they refuse it, what can that person do? It's not the person who's at fault, it's the individual who's at fault. But sometimes people become confused that, why am I suffering? Why does this devotee seem to be enjoying all the time? And so then we get into the state of mind thinking, is Krishna really my friend? Is it really what it says in the Bhagavad Gita? So many things may go through the mind. And so this was going through the mind of Parikshit Maharaj. Not on his own consciousness, but he was trying to play the devil's advocate. And so he asked Shukadeva Goswami about this, about how the Lord seems to be partial, because this is in the 7th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, right at the beginning. Because in the previous chapters he'd been explaining how the Lord was showing partiality to the demigods. And so he asked Shukadeva Goswami, and Shukadeva Goswami in that verse he starts to explain about, I say the Lord is giving mercy to everybody. He's giving it to the non-devotees also, in different ways. Indirectly. When we suffer in this world, as Kadambakarna Maharaj said the other day, he says it's actually the Lord's mercy to turn us away from that suffering condition. What was I saying now? I was talking about the devotees. So, in the first chapter of the Srimad of the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it starts to explain the point that the Lord reciprocates with different kinds of people. As we mentioned, the Lord reciprocated in the Mathura wrestling ring, but he's reciprocating with everybody in different ways. Like Shishupal, he was, what mood was his? What quality was he exhibiting towards the Lord? Envy. And he got liberation. Actually, he got more than that, because he was one of the Jayam Vijay. But then Kamsa, fear. And it goes through the devotees, like that. It says all the different relationships they have with the Lord. The yogis. He says, but the Lord reciprocates with every one of them. So sometimes people, unscrupulous people, they may start to think they can start imitating the Lord, like the Prakriti Sahajas, and that the Lord will reciprocate on this particular verse. But actually later on, Prabhupada writes in the purport that reciprocates to the Lord and he controls the senses. One has to control the senses as well. And then one can get the mercy of the Lord. One controlled senses means we cannot get the mercy. So, right in the beginning, I remember when I was visiting the Manchester Temple in 1983, I think it was. And Ranshaw was in charge at that time. He'd been particularly designated by Prabhupada to preach in Manchester. And I went to one program, and Ranshaw can be pretty heavy sometimes. And I could say at that time, there's a lot of people who are not so serious coming to these meetings. They were joking about. One of them asked Ranshaw, he said, it's all right for you wearing these things on your neck, these neck beads, but what about us? And Ranshaw said, for the doubting soul, there's neither happiness in this world or the next. He didn't know what to do. Everybody was completely shocked. And so this is the thing, is that in devotional service there has to be some faith, and we have to put that faith into action, and then Krishna can do something. So So in the nature of instruction, it explains about attitude. It says we should control the senses, become a Goswami. And then right at the end of the preface, it says, but it's all dependent on one's attitude in controlling the senses. Have we got the determination to do that? This is why we make vows, isn't it? How can Krishna reciprocate with somebody who's not determined? It's just like the example of Dhritarashtra in the 10th canto. Dhritarashtra, just before the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna sent a Krura. He says, go and see Dhritarashtra and see if we can change his mind, see if we can tell him, you know, sort of convince him to come to his senses. And so Akrura, and Krishna told him exactly how to preach, and went and he preached to Dhritarashtra for some time, and Dhritarashtra was agreeing all the way through. And so at the end of this particular dialogue, Dhritarashtra said, your instructions are first class. I can't remember the exact words he said, but your instructions are first class. He said, I cannot find any fault with them. He says, but I cannot follow them. He says, my heart is too attached to my sons. I cannot hold them in my heart, these instructions. So Dhritarashtra was given all Krishna's mercy. Krishna's representative was sent, he preached to him, and even after all that, he couldn't take the mercy. So what about Akrura? Later on, Akrura, in the 10th canto, he was designated by Kamsa. He said, Akrura was pretty astute. He was very politically minded. He could, you know, adjust situations, and Kamsa trusted him. And Kamsa wanted to bring Krishna to Mathura so that he could actually get rid of him. So, you know, Akrura is a devotee. And so Kamsa said, obviously Kamsa wasn't so much aware of that, but he was aware of Akrura's expertise, so he said to Akrura, I would like you to go to Mathura. And he explained everything he was going to do. I want you to get Krishna and Balaram to come to, I want you to go to Vrindavan, sorry, get Krishna and Balaram to come to Mathura, and then I'll have an elephant waiting, Kulavayapida, and they will be crushed by this elephant. And if this elephant fails for some reason, then I have Mushtika and Chanura and all these very powerful wrestlers, and they will be killed in the wrestling ring. So if somebody told you that, you're a devotee, right? We're devotees. If somebody gave you that instruction, what would you do? You've got to go and maybe Krishna not here, but we've got to go and, you know, see another devotee and bring him to be killed. It's pretty difficult to follow. But, you know, Akrura's attitude, his determination, he was so convinced, he had so much faith, that he went with joy. He went to Mathura, and on the way he was thinking about how Krishna would reciprocate with him when he arrived. He said, when I arrive, I'll get down from the chariot, and Krishna will pick me up, and then he will take me to his chamber, wash my feet, sweet words, give me something to eat, in so many ways. And then he will ask, why have I come? And so this is the difference, is that Akrura got Krishna's mercy, but Dhritarashtra couldn't take it. It's a matter of, what we're trying to explain here, a matter of one's attitude. And one's attitude is shown in his determination. Determination is real determination, is in the mode of goodness, isn't it? By following the process of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. We may not be even practicing Bhakti so much in the mode of goodness, we may have ulterior motives. You know, this is like in the mode of passion, desiring to enjoy. Or we may be practicing in the mode of ignorance. But still, if we have the determination to follow the process, this is what Krishna is interested in. He takes the essence of our, or the quality of the heart, if we're determined. And then Krishna will gradually, by performing devotional service, these lower qualities are purified away. I think there's an example of that actually, in like Dhruva Maharaj, for instance. because we're talking about Krishna's partiality. Dhruva Maharaj, he wasn't interested in bhakti yoga so much. He was interested in getting revenge. He wasn't even thinking about performing bhakti yoga. And so he was so determined that Narada Muni said, let me go and see this person. Let's just test him how determined he is. So Narada Muni checked Dhruva on his path to the forest to see the Lord. His mother had told him that, if you want to be helped in this situation, I cannot help you. We have to go to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Where is he? He's in the forest. Okay. And Dhruva went 5 years old. And so Narada Muni was impressed. And so he checked Dhruva on the way. He said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to the forest. What for? I'm going to find the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How old are you? 5 years old. Maybe when you grow up, then you can try to go to the forest. You're only five. Go back and let, you know, just, when you grow up, then you can get that benediction. And so Dhruva Maharaj frankly told him, he said, if you can't help me, step aside. And so Narada Muni made all arrangements. He said, okay, I'll help you. Chant this mantra, and very sincerely, and in a very short time you'll see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so this is an example of Dhruva Maharaj was wrongly motivated. And yet, because he was so determined to see the Supreme Lord, and then he got his darshan very quickly. So this is the... If we think the Lord's partial, then what do? If we're starting to think maybe the Lord's partial, maybe he's treating somebody a bit differently from me, we increase our determination. Don't become, you know, this when we start thinking like that, our determination becomes slackened. Our association with devotees will increase that determination. And then very quickly we can get over that particular obstacle. Because the Supreme Lord why do we go through tests? And maybe like Bali Maharaj, he didn't get the result straight away. It looked like he'd been punished. You know, he just completely surrendered. And so he was wrapped in the ropes of Nagapasha, the ropes of Varuna. And then he was, you know, humiliated in front of all his family members, sent to the lower planets. So sometimes that happens. We make some surrender to Krishna, and we think, what? I've surrendered. Still, I'm in difficulty. So what's Krishna looking for? Are you surrendering just because you want something, or are you actually surrendering because you want to advance in devotional service? And that gives us a chance to see inside the heart also. And if we're actually rectifying our mentality, then we can see Krishna's mercy. So it's all dependent on the way we see. Anyway, it's 9:30 now, So we can stop there. Is there any questions or comments?